Hello, this is Tyler Fender. Thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
Got a lot I need to get through here tonight as we finish this series, but I'm so excited about what we're going to share tonight. If you are a note taker, get ready to take notes. If you're watching online, amen, just like you would here in the house. If you are here in the house, this is not a movie. You don't have to stay quiet. You can be loud. You can say amen. You can say that's right. You can say ouch. You can say he's talking to you. You can point. You can do all of those things. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" They said, "Some say that you are John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." Then Jesus said unto them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, Son of the living God." And we are finishing our series on who do you say I am. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, "I know who Jesus is. I hope you do too." You may be seated. Almost without fail, everyone in the civilized world, as we know it, believes that there was a man named Jesus that lived and walked this earth, walked amongst men, did a lot of good things. There's not hardly anybody that would declare that he did not exist. However, the distinction or the separation begins between us as full gospel, spirit-filled believers, as we believe not only did he exist on this earth, he existed way before this earth was ever formed. The Bible says, and we don't have to get into a Godhead discussion, but back in Genesis, when God was talking about the very creation of man, he said, "I'm going to make man in our image." Jesus was there from the beginning of time. And so the distinction is not only was he man, but he was all God. That he lived for 33 and a half years on this earth. He never committed a sin. That he went and did amazing things for 3.5 years after his ministry was birthed. And he healed the sick and opened blinded eyes and raised the dead and paid taxes with gold in fish's mouth and taught and fed 5,000 with just 2 fish and 5 loaves and did hundreds of miracles. And then John would say, if everything that Jesus had done in those 3.5 years was recorded in books, the books would not be able to tell it all. And so can we just praise God for everything he did? But can we really praise God for the things he did that weren't written about? Can we praise God for what he's done looking back in your life that you know about? But hey, can we take 20 seconds and praise God for everything he's done for you and I that we have no clue and will not know about until we get to heaven? Praise God. God, I thank you that you woke me up. God, I thank you that, Lord, in the middle of the night when trouble came, I didn't even wake up because you held back the night, God. You held back, God, cancer. You held back division. You held, oh, come on now. I thank him for what he's done, but man, I praise him for what he hasn't, for what I don't know that he's done. I believe in the full gospel that Jesus did all of these things. The distinction for believers, unbelievers, or believers to the point that we are, is that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Messiah. One of the greatest articles, just a quick English lesson, the article "the," 3 letters, one word, T-H-E, is an amazing word because when you use that word, you take away many things and you proclaim one thing. So when Simon says, "I believe, I know that you are the Christ," one translation says, "the Christ, the Messiah," what he's saying is, not only am I declaring what you are, I'm declaring what every other god is not. See, every time you say something and do something, church, and this is going to bless the Wednesday night, the sold-out, cream-of-the-crop crowd, This is going to bless you. Every time you do something great for God, you are announcing to the rest of the world what you are not and what you are not taking part in. See, by you being here on a Wednesday night, what you said is, devil, I'm not going to lay up at the house. I'm not going to sit in my recliner. I'm not going to tap out for an early dinner and an early night. I'm not going to wait until Sunday. I'm going to the house of God. Why? Because there's some things that are important to me, more important than an extra hour of sleep, more important than resting my weary bones. I got to get to the church. And so every decision, every declaration you make, it's not only about what you are claiming, it is about what you are saying. Those other things, they do not matter. And so when Simon steps up and says, you are the Christ, what he is saying is there's not one like you. Every other god is a little g god, but you are the big G God. You are the capital in my life amongst all the other lowercase things. Can I get a witness on a Wednesday night? The fact that you're here on a Wednesday night means you are the real deal. You know that Jesus is not a way, he's the way. He's not just a little bit of truth, he's the truth. He's not just a life, he is the life. The door. The bread of life. He said, you are the Christ, Son of the living God. People are cool with you, we talked about in the last couple of sessions, until you answer like Peter answered. You are the Christ. There is no other. You are the Son of God. You are the living God, that God is not dead. We ended last session talking about in verse 17 when Jesus answered Peter, looking directly at Peter in an audience of 12, Jesus hones in on the one that has made this declaration. Let me just help you with this. All 12 of them were followers of Jesus. All 12 of them were disciples of Jesus. All 12 of them had made sacrifices for Jesus. All 12 of them had loved Jesus. But there was only one that had enough guts to stand up and say, Jesus, I know who you are. And I'm not going to whisper about it. I'm going to shout about it. I'm not going to live quietly about it. I'm going to live my life out loud for Jesus. 12 followers, 12 disciples, 12 sacrificers, 12 that loved him, but in that moment, the other 11 disappeared, and Jesus focused in on the one. Can I encourage you? I know it's a Wednesday night, and I know we've got a great worship team, but don't ever let them worship for you. Don't ever let somebody pray for you. When I call you to pray, I don't want you to pray for me. I want you to pray with me. I don't want you to praise for me. I want you to praise with me. I don't want you to go to church for me. I want you to go to church with me. He focuses in, and he begins to have a conversation. Here's where it gets good. When you declare who Jesus is, there's a conversation that he starts having, not with everybody, but with one. That's why on a night like tonight, it's important that you don't let anybody else do it for you, but that you approach the throne. Come on now. See, that's one of the reasons why we shout, is we're not under the Old Testament law where a high priest goes for us. But man, on a Tuesday night in the middle of the night, it can be 3 a.m. and God wakes you up. You don't have to call anybody. You can go for yourself. Jesus starts having this conversation and he says, blessed, there's a blessing in the declaration. He says, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, son of Jonah, for the flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. I love what Jesus says right here. If you're taking notes, write this one down. He says, you didn't get this from what's going on around you. You got this from what's going on above you. You will never, church, you will never get from around you what you can get from above you. Oh, come on now. I love church. I love church folk. I love faith folk. But let me tell you something. I cannot get from you what I can get from him. So anything that you can do from me is going to confirm something he has said, or he's going to use you to give into my life. But I'm going to bypass what's going on around me, and I'm going to look to the hills. I'm going to look above, because what's above me will always override what is around me. And you might be able to quote scripture for me. You might be able to fire me up. But every good thing you're going to say, every God thing you're going to say is just going to be something you've repeated that he said. So why don't I just cut out the middleman and get to God and say, God, everybody around me's acting crazy. Everybody around me won't speak up. So God, I'm coming straight to you. He said, you did not hear this from flesh and blood. You didn't hear this from what was going on around you. He said, you have tapped in to what's going on above you. See, that's why in a world that's as crazy as 2021, we can walk out of this building together and not fear. We can walk out like we've got it all together. I might not have it all together, but he does. And that's why I'm looking at him. That's why I'm focused on him. That's why I'm focused on his word. Why? Oh, because there's something you can get from him that you can't get from them. And Peter tapped into it. All the other men were saying, we've heard what they said about you. We've heard what he said about you. Jesus said, I need to know, what do you say? And the only thing that matters that comes out of my mouth is what has been given to me from heaven above. He says, flesh and blood, Simon, is not revealed this to you, but your Father in heaven. When I receive from God, I think of words. Three words come to my mind: deposit, impartation, and download. Impartation would be the most church word out of those three. I'm coming for an impartation. Oh, there's an impartation. Oh, we use that word impart, and that's a very churchy word, but there is such great, great revelation in that word, because if God imparts something into you, he is taking something out of himself, and he is come on now. We are earthen vessels, but oh, do we have a treasure. What's that treasure? It's the God of the universe that in the heavens above said, oh, she's ready. Oh, he's ready. Oh, he's tapped into the flow that not many people tap into. Oh, where's the sister? I don't want you to stand up, but the sister that's on the 28-day fast, what's she doing? She's getting in the flow so that she can have an impartation from heaven to her spirit, to her life, to what's going on in her. So that impartation. And then I think of word deposit. You make a deposit. You make a deposit so that you are ready for that deposit at a later time. Any deposit God gives you doesn't stay the same. It grows. That means if he gives you something today, tomorrow it will be bigger than it was today. That's how everything God does. It grows. It multiplies after its own kind. And so when God gives you faith, faith is supposed to grow in Jesus' name. And that deposit that he puts in us in February, oh, come May, it's going to be stronger. It's going to be bigger. It's going to be ready for us to go out and do something with it. But what I really want to focus in for just about 3 minutes is the word download. And I heard this a lot in youth camp, and they would trade words out like impartation, because they're talking to 12 and 13-year-olds. And so they would use words that we understand, and I grew up in the computer generation. Come on, you remember when you couldn't use the house phone and your computer at the same time? Y'all remember that? You got mail. I mean, just crazy stuff. But how many Apple users we have in the house today? You use Apple. This will, whether you use Apple or not, this will mean something to you. Every once in a while, if you're working on a computer or even on your phone, you will need to download something. And when you download something, check this out, it's something that you need, or it's something that's going to give you greater access. Oh, come on now. But I've downloaded, thought something, man, I need this, and I go to download, and then this error comes on my screen. Show that error real quick. Your startup disk is almost full. To make more space available on your startup disk, delete some files. Leave that up there for a moment. So when we go to make a download, the downloader says, you aren't ready for what I'm wanting to put in you. And here's the word. You must delete some files. Now, here's what most of us do. We look at what we have compared to something that we have never experienced. Then we start weighing the cost. is what I'm going to get, which I don't know what it does, is it better than what I already have? Come on, church. And see, I want to tell you that those questions are important if you're dealing with anybody but Jesus. But if God wants to make a download in your life, if God wants to impart something in your life, if God wants to deposit something in your life, he is never going to take you to a lesser state. He is always going to take you to a greater state. And so, God, if there's some files in my life that need to be deleted, I will delete them so that I can get the new thing that you're trying to impart or deposit or download in my spirit. So check this out. But what a lot of people do is we check that box. We say, I don't want it anymore, and I don't want you to ever remind me about. See, there's a lot of people that ignorance you think is bliss. That I'm gonna live like there's not more out there. I'm going to live with my head in the sand. I've got mine. And I'm going to pretend like 2 billion people aren't going to sleep hungry tonight. I've got a car. I don't care if she's walking. I've got a strong marriage. I don't care if they're struggling. And so we check the box. Don't warn me about it. Why? Because God is wanting to download something in your life that is not just going to help you, but when it gets in, it's a new operating system. Come on now. And when you get that new operating system downloaded and you get a new revelation of who Jesus is downloaded, not only is it going to bless you, it's going to magnify exponentially your reach to a generation, your reach to your job, your reach to your family. Says delete some files. Leave it up. Delete some files. So we start looking. I've been there before. Before external hard drives were really affordable. I remember you start weighing things, Sister Gloria. Do I want to delete this or do I want to delete this? And this is the thing. We start deleting files, check this out, that no longer serve a purpose. We start deleting files that are irrelevant. Can I tell you that in 2021, you've got some operating systems. You've got some things in your life. You've got some things in your heart. My God. You've got some things in your spirit. You've got some things in your flesh that are irrelevant. They were never supposed to make it this far. And I'm here to tell you, I got good news for you. You can delete them tonight. The Bible says, cast your cares on Christ, for he cares for you. When you confess those sins, he says he slings them as far as the east is from the west in the sea of his forgetfulness. Can I talk to your church today before you go to sleep tonight? Better yet, in the next 10 or 12 minutes of this service, I want you to start taking inventory of the things you've got, files you've got, cares you've got, sin you've got, and start saying, delete, 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 delete. Why? Because God's getting ready to drop something in my spirit that's going to change everything. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, delete. We delete old files. I'm in the process of going through 50,000 pictures. And that's just from the last 3 years. I opened up a file, it had 70,000 pictures from the last 10 years. During Snowmageddon, when there wasn't much to do, I started going through those. And at one time, Brother Robert, some of those pictures were important to me. But here I am in 2021, and I'm thinking, why was that picture important to me in 2008? Delete. You say, why are you deleting that? Because when I get rid of that picture, there's going to be a brand new vision that shows up on this side. Can I encourage you, not only deleting the irrelevant files, deleting the old files that don't mean anything to you anymore. And then this is what I usually do. I delete a bunch of small files that make up the space for a one big file. Can I encourage you? If God's going to drop fresh revelation, if God's going to drop something big, and you know we're always talking about bigger and better and more anointed, and this is going to be the greatest year, he's going to drop the best thing that we've ever had, you're going to have to delete a lot of little things. It's the small foxes, the Bible says, that spoil the vine. And so you don't have to get rid of this little thing and this little thing. And you delete about 70 or 80 of those little things, and man, now you've gotten to God saying, man, I've been waiting for the last year and a half for them to clear space. But now that they've cleared space, now I can download into their spirit. So how do we download? There's only four ways you can receive a download from God: through prayer, through his word, through worship, and through the Holy Ghost. Those are the only four ways that you can receive a download. You say, what about prophet so-and-so? If they're really a prophet, they're going to be directed by the Holy Ghost, and they're going to speak the word of God. Most prophets, Jesse said it on Sunday, that's why there wasn't a whole lot of prophets. There's a lot of prophets now. They live in the parking lot. They live on Instagram. Listen, if you friend request me, and it says apostle so-and-so, or prophet so-and-so, and your Cash App number and username is in your bio, you're not only not getting friended, I'm blocking you. Because the first thing I should see about you shouldn't be your title, and it shouldn't be how to get you money. The first thing I should see about you is something other than that. And can I encourage you that when God wants to download something in your spirit, he would rather just say it directly to you. The only time God used prophets was when the people of God were not listening. I'm listening, God. Here I am, God. Send me. Here I am, God. Speak to me. I've said it before and I'll say it again, because we got a lot of new believers. Every word, when somebody comes up and says, I got a word for you, I believe that every word that they say is going to confirm something that God is speaking to me, something that God is doing in me. It's going to come along and it's going to amen it. It's going to bless it. It is going to confirm it. I don't believe that God is going to use somebody I've never talked to shake me awake. If he does that, I'm not praying hard enough. I'm not worshiping hard enough. I'm not in the word long enough. Pray, the word, worship, Holy Ghost. He said, you did not hear this from man. The Holy Spirit has deposited, Father has deposited this, has downloaded this. Verse 18, and also I say unto you, you are now Peter, and up on this rock, not Peter, not who he was, but on the revelation of who Jesus is, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against. If you're taking notes, the revelation of Jesus brings a few things into your life. The first one that it does is it brings you identity. Peter was Simon before he met Jesus. Who you are and who you are not is decided by what you say about Jesus. He came to Jesus as Simon, but the moment he said, I know who you are the Christ, the Messiah, Son of the living God. This is what Jesus said. You're no longer Simon, you're Peter. Shift in identity. Who was Simon? Simon mean a reed blowing in the wind. Ephesians 4:14 says, we are henceforth no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. You weren't here for the first message in this series. We talked about doctrine, what you believe. Too many people being thrown about. But he said, we're no longer children. That means if you are thrown about and your doctrine's ever changing, and every time the wind shifts, you shift with it, and you're like a reed blowing in the wind, the Bible says you are like a child. Paul said, when I was a child, I thought as a child, spoke as a child, reasoned and understood. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. You aren't a man until you've claimed Jesus. You aren't an adult. You aren't a woman until you've claimed Jesus. James 1:2, verse 2 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect, tired, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing waver. When you claim Jesus, your days of doubt, your days of worry, your days of in one day and out the next, your days of strong Sundays and terrible Mondays, those are over. Why? Because you are a woman or a man of God. You're a woman or a man of faith. You have claimed Jesus, which means now he is your foundation. He is the chief and cornerstone. He is the director and the captain of your vessel. So if he takes you right through the middle of a hurricane that's a level 5, you're going to make it to the other side. And I'm here to tell you, when you say yes to Jesus, the vacillating and going back and forth has to stop. For let not a man think that he shall receive anything from the Lord. Let him ask in faith, going back up one verse, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of sea driven with the wind and tossed. I've noticed this. If I watch the 10 o'clock news, I'm a little more negative. If I watch a 3-minute podcast of some preacher that preaches the word of God, I feel a little more faith-filled. If I get around friends that don't know Jesus and aren't filled with the Holy Ghost, I feel like I'm a little weaker. But when I get around people of faith, I feel like I'm a little stronger. What does that mean? That if I keep going in and out, I'm like that wind. I'm like that wave that's just being tossed around. Just like you LeBron fans. You were Cleveland fans. Then you're Miami fans. Now you're L.A. fans. Actually, my bad. Cleveland, Miami, Cleveland, L.A. You just follow him wherever he goes. You're not fair weather fans. You're just LeBron fans. I want to encourage you, don't be fair-weather Christian. Don't be up on Wednesday night and down on Thursday morning. The revelation of who Jesus is brings your identity. I am not Simon anymore. I am Peter. I am a rock. I am solid. I am unmovable. I have a foundation that cannot be moved. Second thing he gives is the revelation of who Jesus is brings stability in your life. No longer a reed, but a rock. Can I encourage you? One of the worst things that you can be as a believer and a so-called Christ follower is an unstable person. An unstable person. Simon was, he was up, he was down. He was bipolar before it was even a thing. You read Simon's life, I think he was tripolar. I think he was quadpolar, quintpolar. I don't know what's after quint. I think he was all over the place. When you come to Jesus, you got to turn your back on that way of life. Turning your back on that way of life isn't just walking straight, but it's not hanging out with the same people that are going to drag you right back to that place. He says, not only am I going to bring you identity, he said, I'm going to bring you stability. Can I encourage you? God wants to bring stability in your life. Not up, down, not left, right, all day long, but having the stability of Christ in your life. He says, I will build my church upon you. The revelation of who Jesus is brings purpose into your life. Opens up so many doors. It's amazing to me when you start talking to God and you start talking Jesus, how many opportunities present themselves to you. In COVID, man, opportunities can come out of nowhere. Why? Because when you're about purpose, God is not going to let a pandemic ruin your purpose. God's not going to let a snowstorm and a few busted pipes derail your dream. He said, I'm going to bring purpose to you. And when you have the revelation of who Jesus is, he said, that revelation is what I need to build. And when I start building things, the things that I build are not going to be torn down. Come on. The things that I build are not only for you to say, look what the Lord has done, but I'm building something to bring more people into the same revelation that you had. The revelation of who Jesus is, number 4, it brings protection into your life. It says the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Can I tell you right now that when God saved you, he doesn't want you to just sit on a pew for the rest of your life and come to church a couple times a week, but he said it's all-out warfare. And when it says the gates of hell will not prevail against you, that means that there's some believers that got enough faith that they're storming all of hell to steal what the devil has stolen from them and to get it back, whether it be people, whether it be stuff, whether it be money, whether it be sanity, whether it be relationships. And this is what God said, I'm going to protect you into some adverse situations. Jesus. That's why we plead the blood, and that's why we say the name of Jesus. Because sometimes I don't have enough time to say the Lord's Prayer. Sometimes I can't sing verse 1, verse 2, and bridge and chorus. Sometimes all I can muster up is Jesus. And when I say Jesus, the same thing that happened to Peter happened to me. And God said, I will fight for you. I will protect you. And what the devil has meant for evil, it will not prevail against you. It will not prevail against yours. He said, not only will it not prevail, he said, I'm going to turn it for your good. And I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Oh, when you get the keys, whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. The revelation of who Jesus is gives you access. Who cares if you are at the kingdom if you don't have keys to get in the kingdom? Who cares if you're standing out on the front lawn of your house? Yesterday, Bishop called me. Bishop was at his ranch. Bishop was standing in front of his house at his ranch. The problem is Bishop forgot his keys. Standing on a $2 million property. There to handle business. There to meet with people. And he calls me and he says, where are you at? I said, I'm at the church. I said, where are you at? He said, I'm locked out of my house. Didn't have the keys. Luckily, Mandy was 2 miles away and she had one key. Isn't it amazing that a multi-million dollar property was useless until Mandy showed up with a 3-ounce key? And when she gave him the key, he had full access. Can I encourage you? You don't get access until you name the name of Jesus. You can come to church every day of your life, but until you say Jesus, you don't have access to the healing that we have. You don't have access to the delivering power that we have. You don't have access to the anointing. But for every Jesus namer out there, for everybody that doesn't cower in the corner, for those of you that are unashamed to be called a holy roller, you go to that kind of church. Not only do I go to that kind of church, I am that kind of church. I'm the reason that church is what it is. Stand on your feet. Stand on your feet. Jesus gives you access. Revelation gives you access. I was next door 6 months ago. And I was trying to get into a room that I didn't have access. Didn't have a key. Came back and looked in my key box. Could not find a key. So I got the next best thing. Got a sledgehammer. I beat that door to pieces. That lock must have been made back in the World War II era because it took a lot of swings, a lot of sweat, a lot of frustration. I was forcing my. When I got to the other side of the door, Chris, you know what I found out? What I wanted wasn't even in there. Some of us are trying to force our way. Some of us are trying to force the will of God. Some of us are trying to force relationships. Oh, I shouldn't go there. Some of us are trying to force jobs, promotions. Some of us are trying to force. When you are in the will of God, and you name the name of Jesus, you'll never have to force anything. But you'll walk in faith. I like word, the schematics of words and how we use them. Jesus said this. Jesus said, behold, I will set before you an open door. We always ask God, open this door. God never said he would open a door. He said, I'll set before you an open door. If you have a key, you don't need him to open doors. You just need to remember, wait a minute, God gave me a key. When I called Mandy, I said, hey, you got a key to that house? She said, no, I don't. I said, check again. I said, I made you a key 3 years ago. It's pink leopard print. I've never ordered a pink leopard printed key in my life. But 3 years ago, God said, hey, Bishop's going to need access. You're going to be 30 miles away. You're going to be busy. He's going to be on a crutch, and he ain't going to have time to run back and forth. Make this one pink, cheetah print, and give it to your wife. All right. I say all that to say this. God's been working for your 2021 for the last 3 years, 30 years, three millennium. Jesus gives you access. Don't beg him. Walk in it. Live it. Declare it. Be it. The last thing he says is, he said, you'll have power to bind on earth what is in heaven, bound in heaven, loose on earth what is loosed in heaven. It's what we call authority. When you have the name of Jesus, you have access. Doors are opened. You gain entry, but not only when you gain entry, the angels in heaven, the demons in hell are working for you. Remember this, and I'm closing with this. Angels are errand runners, the Bible says. Demons are still angels. They're just fallen angels. They still work for you. They still work for me. When I say the name of Jesus, I've got 66 books that I'm standing on. I've got millions of things Jesus did that were written about and not written about that I'm standing from, operating from. I've got millions of angels in heaven that begin to dispatch. And I don't know how many fallen angels they are, but they start scattering too. You're either going to work for me or you're going to get out my way so I can work, but we're going to get this thing done. It's called access and it's called authority. I want to open this altar right now. If you're in a place right now and you say,